how are you today? If you're feeling down and gloomy, I'm sure that the opening song from my show should have pepped you up. Amen, amen. Thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download a app called TuneIn. You can find this in your Play Store. On any electronic device, you can download. Once you do, search WWGH. Or you can call in while we're live today on the show, this broadcast, by calling 740-383-9944 for questions, remarks, or just want to make some type of comment and be a part of the conversation. We are 46 days into 2022. February is noted for Black History Month. And let me say this, my name is Linda Sims, and this is my show, A Voice of a People. Okay, Idlewild. I don't know if any of you have heard of this, but this has a lot to do with Black history. This was once paradise. There's not much traffic on the crisscrossing dirt roads. The old shacks set back in the woods are mostly empty. There's little noise other than the sound of the wind blowing the leaves. But this remote area was once alive, crowded, famous around the world, not just for what it was, but for what it meant. In Jim Crow times, when Black people were not allowed at white vacation spots and could not rent most hotel rooms while traveling, when Black musicians were barred from the country's top stages, they all came here to a rural part of Western Michigan and created their own incredible, improbable world called Idlewild in the middle of the woods. During its peak after World War II, it drew tens of thousands of people. Every summer, hundreds of cottages sprang up. Nightclubs and names like the Flamingo Club and Paradise Club brought world-class musical greats to perform for audiences who dressed in their best suits and gowns. You were hanging out with Della Reese. You would be in a nightclub with Louis Armstrong, Joe Louis, Mary Trucks, never heard of her before, manager of Idlewild Cultural Center for Black People. It was their paradise. It was a place to be. Everybody was here. And then suddenly, everyone was gone. By the 1960s, the Civil Rights Act was passed. Legal segregation ended. Idlewild's summer residents started vacationing in places they were not able to before, and the entertainers followed them. The cottages crumbled, the nightclubs closed, the people moved elsewhere. It became a closed chapter in Black history. I brought that up because it was on the news today, and they are trying to revitalize this Black paradise in Michigan. So that's it for Black History Month today. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. I am saddened. I went by to visit Chappie today to see if he still wanted to support the show or had he, if he thought he had been with me long enough and was ready to give up, right? Chappie passed away February the 6th. Oh,
that was the wrong answer.
Oh, my.
I didn't expect that.
Oh, my. I went there today, and his grandson said, I lost my grandfather February the 6th with COVID pneumonia.
Oh,
I was so sick. Like, my, he's been with me at least, what, 7 years or 8 years? He supported this show when a lot of people would not. And he was really, you know, dear to my heart. He used to joke with me and stuff. Well, I'm going to stop supporting you now. I said, but God's still blessing your business, right?
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, yes, he's gone. So when you think about Chappie's Hydraulics, please, you know, lift up a prayer for his family and his grandson. My condolences to them. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement, free produce will start April the 16th. Please mark your calendars, okay? It will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m. and always the third Saturday of every month unless notified in advance. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio, phone 740-262-0939. I like to always start my show off with a thought for today, and it is a moment of solitude. What is solitude? I guess when you're alone and you first wake up in the morning and there's no one with you but you and the Lord, right? When I start today with a moment of solitude and contemplation, that means the action of looking thoughtfully at something for a long time, which is, I consider that my devotion. Even the most crowded schedule runs more smoothly, and that is so true. The whole day runs more smoothly when you concentrate on what you have to do and who you want to lead you and guide you throughout the day, and that's the Lord. So don't forget that, okay? A moment of solitude. Today I have with me Jeff Porter. He is the author of Expressions of the Last Days, and Jeff tells me he's been sick for a couple of weeks, so we pray right now in the name of Jesus that the Lord touch and heal his body, give him strength.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, strengthen his lungs, help him to get his breath right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, and we ask you to do this according to your will. Amen. So
much better than I was.
Well, praise God. Yes, absolutely. And Jeff was here last month, of course, and Happy New Year again.
Yes.
I don't know how things...
I think this is the regular Tuesday I would have been here.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't blame it on me. I can't think.
That's okay. According to my schedule, you have the second Tuesday of every month. So this
what is... I thought this was the second Tuesday.
See, the first came in on a Tuesday. And see, it even threw me off. The first came in on a Tuesday, 1st of February, I think.
That would still make this the second Tuesday.
No, because 1 and 7 is 8. This is the 15th.
Okay. Well, it don't matter.
See, you're here, praise God, right?
You woke
me
up, though.
I did?
Yeah,
alive
I didn't
and well?
Know if, I fell asleep in the chair.
Aww.
I've been aware all day that I had to come here. And then I was sitting there watching some documentary, and I apparently, when you fall asleep like that, somebody wakes you up, you don't even realize you were sleeping. Anyways.
That's true.
I wanted to talk today about the tremendous things that have been happening.
Yeah.
In the last month or so. We are on the outside, almost at war. With Russia, of all places.
Wow. God forbid that happens.
That is not good.
No, it's not.
And, these commentators were talking about a possible civil war in America. And I've talked about that, and I believe that it is possible. Let's say we hope it's not probable.
Right. God forbid that, too, you know.
But a lot of people are mad about different things.
Yeah. And that won't change. That's humanity,
that's
right?
That's America.
Yes.
America is built on controversy.
Yeah.
But not this much controversy.
Oh, it's out of control.
Most of the time. But and I sat there and I go, that's one thing that I'm not a person that likes to stick his head in the sand, as you know.
Right.
But I had a tax issue. I had to take care of it. I thought at City Hall. So I went to City Hall with the paper. Going to try to straighten this out. And when I went in the side doors, I don't know if you've been to City Hall lately. The place was like a fortress. They had all this security set up.
You didn't know that?
No.
It's been there for a while. A few months, anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. It's almost as if the Lord sent me there on purpose. go ahead, take a look at this.
Like Fort Knox, right?
Yeah. And they said, where do you want to go? And I said, I'm going to try to figure out a tax issue. Da 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 da. I said, upstairs, down there. They weren't unfriendly.
Right.
You know, they weren't
obnoxious.
Obnoxious or anything, you know, like a lot of times security is.
Right, right.
And there was no sign of that. But I needed to go to the county, not the city.
Okay.
And so the Lord wanted to show me the security there. And I said, I was astounded. I really was. I said, okay, so why have they got this going? And I went back to the car, and I go, all right, now why have they got this all set up? Because they didn't have it set up a few months ago. And they go, oh, I think I know why.
Mid last year, I think, during COVID, they did that. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but I think they're fearing war. I really do. They're fearing revolutionaries.
And if not that, it's just not as safe as we would like for it to be.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where you live. Because when I lived in Georgia, a town called Marietta was almost, it was a little bigger than Marion, Ohio, but it was so similar.
Yeah.
But they had all that then when I lived there. And that was in 2001, 2002.
I know, but they took them all down.
I don't think so.
After after 9/11 kind of faded away.
I don't think they
but
did.
That was, I was there at our Marion City Hall not that long ago, and there was none of that was there.
Yeah. Maybe it's been there about 6 months, 6 or 8 months.
Is that? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is, you know, I think our country is gearing up just in case we have a shooting war.
I hope not,
in the United States. I think that some people need to realize that we have a pretty good thing going here. We don't need to ruin it with violence, you know. And I understand people being upset about socialism knocking at our door, communism, atheism, every kind of ism you can think of, you know, is trying to take over because they see this as their chance, you know. But war is horrible. We don't want to think about it, even, because it hurts, destroys.
Yeah.
You know? And we're talking about just, all we're talking about is a bunch of power shift.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But not just that. We know that America is very, very exceptional. I don't think there's ever been a country as free and as powerful as this country in the last 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people got to realize that, you know, that yes, it has been paid for in blood,
mm-hmm.
but that blood has been spilled in other countries. We had a civil war, but I think every country has a civil war at some time or other, and we should just leave it at one if we can, you know. Let's just leave it at one.
Yeah, let's leave it back there, right?
Yeah, so we can go home and watch TV.
Right. Go back to our comforts that we're so used to having, you know. Yeah.
Well, Romans 6:23, I guess it tells the story, for the wages of sin is death.
Right.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this has been a Christian country, but it's turned its back on God. And you can't get away with that.
No.
Just because he hasn't done anything up until now didn't mean that he wasn't ever going to do anything.
That's true.
You know, 6 years ago was I here? 7 years? And I started talking about it then, that eventually we're going to have to pay the Pied Piper for our major, major sin.
Yeah.
And you talk to people about, you say, well, abortion's a major sin. They just laugh at you. They just look at you and go, well, I'm sorry, but it's my body, you know.
Right.
Really, nothing is ours, if you think about it. Our own body is not ours.
So we didn't make it, did we?
No. They lay claim to it, though.
Yeah, they do.
And so, drugs and alcohol, crime. What? But this kid goes out and gets in his car, he's got a .45 or something in his pocket. He thinks that makes him powerful. He's going to go rob somebody or some bank or somewhere, a jewelry store or something. And it always ends up in tragedy, you know. And we're sitting here day and night telling them the only real route to happiness, and I won't even say happiness, to salvation, is Jesus Christ.
And there is peace with that.
Yes.
And peace brings us happiness.
Yes.
Joy.
And so, we don't need the crime.
No. I know, it's all out of hand. It just, out of hand. What can I say, Jeff? I feel where you're coming from, and I have the same sentiments. And I just wish that we could all get along.
Yeah.
Somehow, you know, yeah. Even if we don't like it, let's get along anyway.
Well, you can imagine how some of our soldiers feel stuck out there in the middle of what is it? A winter desert.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of mud and snow.
Right.
I could just hear our guys griping right now.
Right, even though they are our protectors, but I think, you know, there's a limit to everything, don't you? I mean.
Well, you know, it almost reflects of Armageddon. But Jesus did say, look out for wars and rumors of wars.
Yes, he did.
Towards the end. I'm not going to predict what Putin is going to do. I think he's just rattling sabers, probably.
Well, he said they were just going to do some, what you call, drills, right? Some drills.
Yeah. He just wants to upset us. And the Ukraine. Because, you know, he has to do that every now and then.
Oh, he has to flex his muscles, of course.
Yeah.
You know that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he already knows we really don't want to go to war with him, nor does he really want to go to war with us.
Yeah, it's like most people they interview, you know, even on the conservative side are going, oh, come on.
Wow.
Nobody wants war.
No.
You know?
No.
So. But see, these things are the result of too much sin in America. And that's what my book is really about, Expressions of the Last Days.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when I first started talking about the prosperity movement.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about Kenneth Copeland and all this junk he's been preaching for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to talk to preachers just around here, a few, not a lot of them. And you talk about disinterested, apathetic,
mm-hmm.
who cares, you know, and until the consequences thereof come along, you know. And I remember talking to a couple of pastors who said later on they started paying attention because their church was becoming saturated with it.
Right.
And prosperity is not an easy thing to deal with once it starts getting out of control. It's bad.
Right.
It's really bad because what Satan is doing is introducing his Jesus.
Money.
You know, yeah. And he is the imitator of the right, you know, the right Jesus. And I don't think God's too pleased with that when he presents the truth to a person like that, a leadership, a lot of times this false doctrine stuff is a result of poor leadership and bad attitudes amongst the leadership.
Someone shared with me that the seminary, that these pastors go to the seminary and they're taught to teach what they're teaching, is, and maybe they're not called by God. They just decide this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my career here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Bible says many are called and few are chosen. So they kind of looked at it like, okay, so these people go to seminary. That doesn't necessarily mean that they've been chosen to bring the gospel.
Right.
This was their decision to do this. So
right.
Then they preach what they're taught. And that, you know, that's
that
a bit
prosperity.
Different. Yeah. And, you know, there is a scripture that says, I wish that your soul would prosper and be in good health, you know.
Yes.
And even as your soul is in good health. And the poor you're going to have with you always. But I do think there is a level of coming above, you know what I'm saying, and not just always being on the bottom. Some people will come up,
yeah,
you know, and prosper. Yeah, but
you could take anything that happens or anything that the Bible says and make it into what you want it to be.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. That's how these new religions get started,
that's
you
right.
know.
You remember right that, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah. They're not
now,
the only ones.
They'll take a concept, they'll take a word and change it completely to fit into their way of thinking.
Right.
You know. And once a person is convinced that that's truth, pretty hard to get it out of their head.
I know it is.
You know, it's almost
it
impossible. Only God can do that a
right.
lot of times, you know.
That's true. So true.
Sometimes the best thing to do is just pray for them.
And you're right about that, because we can't make anyone do anything.
No, you can't win, especially a cultist. You know, God has to do that.
Amen, amen. Isn't there a scripture that says, like, praying for them is like heaping coals of fire on their head?
Yeah, but
you know.
Let's try to heap marshmallows.
Yeah, right, right. Because only God can touch the hearts and minds of men and women.
Right.
Only He can.
We don't want these people to go to hell.
No. And
I
we should have,
I know
yeah.
they're aggravating a lot of times, you know.
Yeah, well, we have been too now, Jeff. Now, hold on now.
You know, yeah. I remember talking to quite a few prosperity people who I wanted to go upside their head so bad because they were just so obstinate and obnoxious and rude, and they think they're doing the right thing, you know. And you got to let them be the rude one.
Yeah.
You got to let them be the obnoxious one. You can't stick your anger in there and accomplish anything, you know.
No, and that's there's what they call righteous anger.
Yeah.
So there's a different type of anger, but you're right.
It's pretty hard to do that right. You know.
So if you're going to be angry, you're going to be downright angry, right?
Yeah, me, yeah. Most of the time, you know, you used to be. Well, I remember I had a problem with this taxation thing.
Mm-hmm.
My mom never put the house in my name or Jack's name, and it just caused all kinds of problems. We even talked about this years ago. What if you end up in a nursing home?
What then, right?
Yeah, and then we need to have this house in my name, probably. You know, Jack didn't want it,
mm-hmm.
the house. And I said, I don't necessarily want the house, but I want to be able to sidestep all the harassment, you know. No. She thought I was trying to take her house.
Mm.
Kick her out of the street.
Oh,
can you believe
no.
that?
Well.
Some people, you know.
She may have witnessed that happening to other people, and it does happen.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe she would think that of me. But anyways, I didn't want her house.
Right. So now this has caused a lot of uncertainty where the property
oh, yeah.
is concerned.
Yep. And so, now I forgot what point I was going to make with this. But,
we're talking about prosperity.
Yeah. Well, now a lot of these people in the prosperity movement, anything that sends money their way, they think, oh, wow, the prosperity doctrine has done this.
Oh,
you know?
They're blaming it on that. Okay, I see where you're coming from.
And there's too much emphasis on money. There's too much emphasis on what I got. Look at the disciples. I mean, what kind of stuff did Paul have when they cut off his head in Rome? You know, the only thing he had was a wicker basket waiting on his head down there, you know.
You know, a lot of people, I don't think they really understand the death that the disciples really endured and went through, all the ridicule and, you know, just downright mean, you know. Yeah. And I think it was Paul that they were on to crucify, right?
Yeah.
And he said, "Do not crucify me upside down."
No, that was Peter.
That was Peter. "Do not crucify me as you did my Lord." They boiled in oil.
Oh.
That was Paul, I'm sure, right?
Paul had his head cut off.
See what I'm saying? People don't realize the sacrifice that was made for the gospel, not only Christ himself.
Some of them, we don't know what happened to them.
Right.
They just disappeared.
Just devastating, you know?
Yeah.
And like I've heard you say, why do we think we're just going to get through this without any sacrifice?
Oh, we're not going to suffer. We're going up.
Mm.
You know, that really gets me how Americans think that we'll never have to suffer because we're Americans. And I've actually had one guy say that. We're probably highly blessed because America's been so generous and wonderful and everything.
Hmm.
And
because we're Americans, so
we're Americans, so we don't have to suffer like that.
Wow. Okay.
We're blessed. We got blessed underwear. We got Pampers. We got blessed Pampers.
You are something else today. Wow. I guess I woke Jeff up, so you know.
Not really here.
He's in rare form today. But
left
I
your clock. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's right there.
Okay,
we got a
good,
few minutes.
At least, I guess.
Yeah.
I forgot to put on my watch.
Okay. I forget mine almost every day, so.
I keep forgetting that I could use my cell phone.
Right, right. Yeah, you can. You sure can. Yeah. So, what else is on your heart and mind? I've been listening to a lot of Nephilim.
Oh.
The giants of the end time that's coming back.
Yeah.
The humanism concept and all that is all twined up into one little thing, you know, but it's going to be a big thing.
And it's hard to say exactly what's going to happen in the last days. The Bible is, the book of Revelation can be kind of vague sometimes.
Yeah, but it's so symbolic of these things that we don't see every day. You know, and it's also associated with Egypt. When Moses led the tribes out of Egypt, the plagues that the Lord sent on Pharaoh.
Yeah, I was just thinking the other day about that, and how could the Pharaoh have been so stupid, I guess, or so blind to realize that after all these miracles, once the Israelites leave Egypt, they're headed out and they go through the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts for them. What makes him think that God's going to let him get away with destroying the Israelites after all those miracles?
I don't know. And Jen, like you said, send the sea part, and you're going to run down in there with your army. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah. Jeez.
What is that?
I love that movie.
Oh, I do too.
Charlton
I do
Heston.
Too. Yes, one of my favorites.
It's very, very well done.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Wow. It just blows me away. God himself, how he knows how to confront anybody.
Yes, how to deliver us.
Yes, and how to deliver us, you know. And it's like he told Moses, well, he's not going to let you go. He told Moses that. He said, because I will harden his heart.
Yeah.
Do you want God to harden your heart?
Because he wanted to show the rest of his miracles.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he did.
Yeah.
And he did. I don't want God to harden my heart. I put it like that.
He's not going to do that.
But and you think about atheists. Now, your heart was hardened.
Yeah.
You know?
I became an atheist. Well, my uncle had a lot to do with that. I already had an interest in science and all that. And it's already starting to, because they teach you this stuff in school.
Right, right.
Believe in evolution and all
right.
that. And I think evolution had its biggest, had the most impact on me.
Of course.
From science. That wasn't the only thing, but It's Satan's sad attempt to explain life on earth without God.
And to steal God's people.
And I'll bet you Satan sits back and laughs every day and goes, they really believe all that junk about evolution.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
They believe the science. They don't.
I remember talking about it at work one day. I finally said, you know what? Evolution's a big lie. And so there are a few people that were upset and everything. But I have one friend come back. And he goes, so, and I explained about it. And I said, I've got a video you should watch about that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't remember if he watched it or not. But he came back and he said, looks like it turns out to be true that evolution is defrocked, you know. I said it was from the very beginning, man.
Right, right, you know, right.
There was no way. Can you sit down and get a pair of tweezers and some glue or something and make a bug?
Right.
You know, it's impossible, totally.
I've heard this. The Word of God proves science, but science can't prove. Is it? God uses science to prove him and that he exists or something like that. I forget how it goes exactly, but.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, though, now.
It's God's way of using that to prove that he really exists, because they can't disprove it, right?
They can't disprove God.
No.
But if you look, it's like going to a courtroom and they say, okay, we arrested this guy today because we've got a ton of forensic
evidence
against this guy. We don't have a witness, but we have the gun. We have fingerprints.
Mm-hmm,
we have DNA.
Right.
We have this. We have that. We have this. You know, he shouldn't have been in that house at that time of day. He said he wasn't, but he was.
Right.
The DNA proves it. And that's exactly how you should look at it when it comes to, like, for instance, evolution. You know, you should look at the facts. You know, there's nothing there to give it any strength.
Right.
You know. And I look back on it and I go, how could I have believed that? You know, it took a long time but your brain gets into this certain mode, you know, when you're in the world. And you start thinking about cavemen and all that. And how could that have happened? If evolution isn't true, how could there have been cavemen? Stuff like that. Well, there were civilizations that lived in caves, but that doesn't prove evolution in any way, shape, or form, you know.
Right.
At least they didn't have to pay taxes. You know.
So you're back to the taxes.
I'll tell you, you know, these guys threw they had the boss at a tea party, and they threw the tea into the ocean. And what is said is they were protesting taxation without representation. So now that we've turned things around, we've got taxation with representation. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it is.
That's just great, you know. We made some great strides there.
Whoa. Always something to be thankful for, right?
Right, right.
Always something. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. It is that time of year also. Taxation and people filing for income tax returns.
I haven't got my tax letter yet for my PERS, my retirement.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had to file.
Oh, you don't have to file?
No.
I'm going to have to call them or something, because I get 1,000.
Oh, really?
Returned, yeah.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So, don't be telling me I don't have to file.
No, I can't tell you that if you're filing.
I am supposed to, but haven't gotten my paper yet. I remember it being pretty late a couple of times, but not this late.
Wow, nothing wrong with that. Hey.
Gives me a little extra spending money that I don't really have, because if I was to use it on all the stuff I owe, it'd be gone in 2 seconds.
Right, right. And you know, I was thinking a lot of things that we're living through, these signs of the end times, it seems imminent and it does have its time to occur and to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how close are we to these things happening? You know?
No.
We don't know, do we?
At the end of the hour. I know I'm supposed to be involved in it.
Okay.
But I don't know when this is going to happen. It drives me nuts.
Wow.
I feel like I'm like floating around in, you know, this gray wilderness.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
Wow, is that, that's not an outer body experience, is it?
No, I just feel like I'm kind of lost sometimes, you know, like, come on, let's get this going.
What do you want to happen?
I know what I'm supposed to do.
Right, right.
I'm not there yet. So I'm not doing anything right now.
Well, you're on the show.
Yep, this is the one thing that makes sense.
Yeah, you're on the show. Yeah. And not only that, you get to talk about your book, you know, and we're still living in this time that people are saying, we're in the last days, we're in the last days.
Yeah.
We're in the last of the last days, you know, so.
And it seems like as time goes by, it just keeps getting more and more imminent, you know, like there's an alarm going off all over the place.
Yeah, there is like an eerie feeling about it, isn't it? Yeah, something different, yeah. Unexplainable, you know.
Like our world has changed and. Imagine, you know, a few years ago walking into City Hall and there'd be a bunch of security stuff in there.
No.
Put your arms up, please. You know.
Who would have even imagined 911?
Oh, yeah.
You know, jets flying into the towers, the Twin Towers. Who would have ever thought that?
You know, it seems like the tribulation is nothing like even the beginnings of it or the warnings that come. They're nothing like you would think.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
They're different.
I had just left Marion, Ohio. I was living in Georgia when that happened, and I had gotten home about 7 that morning, and I was sleeping, right, because my sister had gone to work. And she calls me frantic, girl, you better wake up. Somebody attacking us, and this plane didn't hit the Twin Towers and all that. I'm like, what? So I turn on the TV, and we were all stricken and smitten by what was going on, you know, like, are you kidding me, you know? What's going on? What's happening? You know?
I had the radio on the bus, because, you know, the buses always started early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going down Prospect Street, I remember, and the commentator comes on and says, wait a minute, I got a news short here. Twin Towers have been hit by a commercial airliner. Well, no, at first they thought it was just a twin-engine Beechcraft, like, or something like that. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know it was an airliner. And then later on he goes, yep, we found out that it was an airliner. It may have something to do with some terrorism. You know, and he goes on and on. Eventually he goes, another plane has hit the other Twin Towers.
I watched it happen.
Oh. And I remember I was sitting there in the living room watching that when it collapsed.
Something. So, no, we don't want war.
No.
We don't want war. Inland or outland. We don't want war. That's so final for, you know, a lot of things, a lot of people, and the structure of the world and how we live. And, you know, our children and our grandchildren. No, we do not want, I don't want war.
No.
I want to be able to get along with people, and hopefully people can get along with me. We have our own ideas. We have our own concepts. And that doesn't mean that a person has a right to be upset with me because of the way I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you could be upset with each other. You don't have to shoot each other.
Right. And we're entitled to that.
Yeah.
Aren't we? God gave us our own minds, so we're entitled to our thoughts and whatever we believe. We have a... It's all right to believe what we believe. Doesn't make it right, though.
No.
Right?
And doesn't make it wrong.
No. Doesn't make it wrong. So it's like, respect me as I respect you.
Yeah.
So I hope and pray that, you know, that the world will think about these things, because I would not want to, I would not want the United States to go to war with Russia or China. Neither one of them, because it would be a different type of war, like the cyber war.
Yeah,
cyberspace
turn into a nuclear war.
Yeah, something. Oh, and God
because
forbid.
Putnam was saying that. He said, "You know, I never know. It could turn nuclear."
Yeah, they have just as many nuclear bombs as we do, from what I've heard and read.
I understand.
Yeah. So who wants? To,
now,
who's the
US
strongest
as
arm?
As,
yeah, who has
ground forces? The U.S. is far more superior in their firepower.
Well,
the technical usage of technology for war, the U.S. is far superior. But I don't look forward to a bunch of dead Russians either.
Oh, no.
I mean,
oh, no.
You know, as you get older, you kind of feel that way. Like, I don't want anybody to be dead
so
from
I don't
war.
Even, I don't even want to die myself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so true. So true. No. And
I would really dread hearing the reports every day like you did in Vietnam. You know.
It would be... what can you say? If that was to happen, it would be totally... I think we would be totally annihilated, both sides.
If nuclear?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it would upset you.
Oh, yeah.
It would really mess up your day.
Existence, period. Because that nuclear stuff, they can't control that stuff once it's unleashed and gets in the atmosphere. They can't.
Oh, the radiation.
Yeah, the radiation, they can't control that.
That's what's really deadly.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's not even think about that. God forbid. Let's pray, people, that this does not happen.
Well, I was reading this book called Hiroshima. I got to watch this DVD, too. This lady that survived it, she tells you what it's like as you, you know, go through this. And she said she got to this road right after the explosion, and there's, like, buildings around here on fire and people suffering and dragging. They were going down to the river because it was so hot from all the fires and everything, you know. And they were trying to make it down there. People were collapsing and dying on the road. They finally made it to the river, you know, and people drowned, died in the river because they didn't have any strength. You know, and she just went on and on about all the destruction and everything. And she said, let's try to avoid this from now on.
Right.
You know, because I don't think the Earth could survive it. You know, can you imagine? And there's been a lot of movies and books written about, you know, the aftermath of nuclear.
You're listening to WWTH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention. With conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2.